Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show. A moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. Listen to real-life testimonies from women and men just like you who have gone from victim to victorious. Sit back, listen, connect in the chat room, and share the show with a friend. Here's your host, author, and motivational speaker, Nicole Cleveland.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Breathe Again, the radio show. Yes, I am your host. I'm Nicole Cleveland. I am motivational speaker and author, encourager, sister, friend, minister. I'm all types of things, but you know what? One thing that I hold dear to me is that I am a child of God. I'm a servant of God, and I'm out here trying to do His will each and every day. I'm trying to live my life on purpose, and that's why I come to you every Thursday with stories of encouragement and inspiration and solutions. So you don't feel like you're by yourself. A lot of times when we go through, we feel like we're by ourselves. No one understands what we're going through, and no one has ever been there. But you are so far from the truth. A lot of times we go through, but we don't know and we don't understand that we're going to come out. And my job is just to encourage you, to let you know that you're going to come out. You know, this thing right here is just temporary. You know, the Word of God says that it is just a light affliction, but sometimes it doesn't feel so light, does it? I know I'll be the first to raise my hand and say, no, it does not feel so light. It feels heavy, but the Word says that it is light, and it's also temporary, so what you're going through is just for a mere moment. So be encouraged, my sister, my brother, those that are crying, those that are not sleeping, get you some rest, you know. I get it. I understand that, you know, sometimes life will hit us so hard. It'll punch us in our face, in our gut, knock us in our ears, and we don't know what is going on. We'll be so out of sync. But you know what? I want you to hang on in there. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be motivated. I want you to get up from where you're at. And my message is always clear everywhere I go. And I speak, I tell people, you know what? Cry, yell, and scream if you must. But once you are done, fix your clothes, dry your tears, get yourself together, and live again, breathe again, dream again. Because you know what? We need you. We need you. So that is me, and you can check us out online, breatheagainministries.org, breatheagainministry.org, breatheagainministry.org. Or you can go to breatheagainmagazine.org, read those encouraging articles that are out there. Or you can go to my personal website, which is NicoleCOnline.com, NicoleCOnline.com. I just released my new book on February 10th. It hit the Amazon bestseller list. Woohoo! I'm encouraged about that. And it is called So He Hurt You, Now What? Messages of Hope for a Hurting Sister. So He Hurt You, Now What? I get it. I understand. I've been there, done that. I actually wrote the book about it, a couple of them. So I am here to just encourage you that it's not going to be always like this. So that's a little bit about me. I do need to let you know about an upcoming event that we have coming up. It's going to be on March 22nd. I will be the guest speaker, and it is going to be at Elohim Christian Center in Richmond, Virginia. It's Elohim Christian Outreach Center, and that's going to be at 2696 Williamsburg Road in Richmond, Virginia, and it's put on by their women's department, their Victorious Women, and I will be the speaker talking to the women about my new book, So He Hurt You, Now What? Again, that's going to be at Elohim Christian Outreach Center on March 22nd at 12 noon. I'd love to meet you. I'd love to see you if I haven't seen you in a long time. Come on out and be encouraged by my words. I'm sure I have something that will bless you that I will say. So to God be the glory for great things that He has done and he's doing and he's going to do. Well, let's talk a little bit about the show today. The show is going to be hot. It is going to be fire. You know, little kids be say turnt up. I don't know what that means, but I'm going to stop saying things. I don't know what they're talking about. But the show today is going to be very, very juicy. I have an author that's going to be with me, Parker J. Cole. She is the author of Many Strange Women. It is book one of Sins of the Flesh, Sins of the Flesh. And don't be looking at me side-eye talking about, you know, it is what it is. So it is Sins of the Flesh because we all sin, and there's some things in there that they deal with, that we deal with each and every day. So she's coming on the line, and she's going to talk about that new book, Many Strange Women, book one of Sins of the Flesh. And right now what we're going to do is we're going to pray. We're going to play the prayer that I play each and every week to encourage you, and I hope it blesses you like it blesses me each and every time that I
Father,
hear it. So may you be encouraged.
Father, you hear our hearts this morning. We do not want to settle. We do not want to find our comfortable position and put up our tent there and be happy with you blessing me and mine. Father, we understand today that forgiveness and reconciliation and blessing and favor is given for reason, Lord God. It is given for purpose, Father. And today, God, we say forgive us, Father, when we have taken on this attitude, Lord God, of all you've done. Father, use us, God, use us, pick us, choose us, Father. We want to spend ourselves. Father, I want to get to heaven with a life poured out, not with a life that looks perfect, Father. I want it to not look good, I want it to be good, Father. We love you today, Father God. We love you today, Father God. We love you today, Father God. Let our love be seen, Father God, on this earth. Let our love be carved out, Father God, on the pavements of our neighborhoods. Let our love be carved out for you, Father. Oh, Jesus, for the lonely. Lord, for the state that we were in. We were in that state, God. Yet someone bothered to take the time and present you to us. We'll never ever take it for granted. And in turn, we live our lives as a thank you. As a thank you, Father. As a thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. I absolutely love that prayer. That prayer is by Darlene Check and Israel and New Breed. And I pray that it blessed you because it always sets the atmosphere and the tone of the show, and I absolutely just adore that prayer. So let's get into the show. Let's bring our guest to the line. Again, like I said, my guest today is Parker J. Cole. She is an author in her own right, author of several books, an encourager, just a woman out there that is really walking in what she's supposed to be doing and loving what she's doing. So I'm going to bring her on the line so she can tell you a little bit more about who she is and what she does. So, Parker, are you there?
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for joining us on today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm just so excited to be here on the show today. I'm just great. And that was just a lovely prayer. My heart just resonated with her words and with her sincerity and her intensity that we do not want this to be about us. We want it to be about him. And I thank God for that. And I'm so glad you prayed that prayer because it puts us in a certain mind frame to give worship to God. So thank you so much.
You are more than welcome. Yes, I love and I adore that prayer. I really do. I get excited because we are supposed to live our lives as a thank you, and it's not about us. And what we do is so important because others are watching us, and they are really modeling what they should be doing by what they see us doing. So we need to be on our P's and our Q's and doing what we've been called to do. So, Parker, tell the audience a little bit about who you are. Who is Parker J. Cole?
Well, if I were to give you my short biography, I would just simply tell you I'm a writer and a show host similar to yourself that just likes to write and write stories. But if I were to give you, like, you know, little quirks about me, I am a diehard Star Trek fan. I'm a sci-fi fan. I love singing. I love going to church and being active in my church circles very, very much so. I'm a woman of many different interests because I think people are interesting, and what people do often lead to story ideas. So that's why I like a lot of different things. And I'm just, I like to think I'm a laid-back person, but I'm actually quite paranoid. Quite often I get paranoid for no reason at all. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. But I'm just pretty much a writer. I am just glad to be where I am now, and I thank God that He has led me through this journey of being a writer because I had to go through a lot of strongholds to get to this point. So that's what I'm real thankful for.
Amen, amen. We all have had to endure adversity in our lives and strongholds and things that just held us back. Now, what is one thing that you can think of that really held you back and you really had to overcome? Because someone may be dealing with that right now, so they need to be encouraged and motivated by your story as well. So if you had to name one thing, what would that one thing be that really just had a hold on you?
I think the one thing, and I wish there was just one, but the one thing that I think held me back was self-doubt and self-hate in myself. And when I mean by self-hate, this idea that I was not worthy of anything that happened to me, I could not do it. And it's nothing, I didn't have a hard childhood or anything like that. I think it was just my own insecurities being bigger than my aspirations for my goals. I think of everything that held me back is just me, self-doubt about my abilities, about what God has called me to do, to find myself knowing that what I am doing right now is in God's will and that is His purpose for me, and grasping that purpose confidently. See, before I didn't really grasp it. I was like, okay, I'm supposed to be a writer and that's it. But now I know this is what I'm supposed to do because God has led me down this path. Mm-hmm. And I think that self-doubt, self-hate, whatever you want to call it, held me back because I did not think I was capable of doing what I'm doing now. Even though I knew I had the gift in me, I did not think I was capable of it.
Well, that's good because you're not the only one that had to endure that or overcome that. There are individuals right now that are dealing with that. They are really tormented in their mind because they have this notion that they're not good enough and they'll never be anything. And sometimes it's not caused by what others say. It's an internal battle. It is inside themselves. So how did you battle that? How did you get past that? How did you wake up one day and say, you know, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am who God has created me to be, and I can do what He wants me to do. What made you get to that point, Parker?
I think what made me get to that point was when I started this journey to become a published author and to realize that my words had an impact, that they had an effect, and that God had called me to do this. It really happened, though, was when I lost my job. About 4 years ago, I had lost my job. I walked out the door. It had been a high-pressure environment. Like 2 months before I left, my eyes started to twitch. I had a muscular twitch in my eyes from the environment. And all that time, and I walked out the building, and to this day, my eye has not twitched ever since I left that building. And I looked at this manuscript I had been working on for 10 years. And what happened, I said, I'm tired of looking at this. Why am I looking at this manuscript? Why do I keep staring at it? Why do I keep doing this? And it's not out there where people can read it. And I made a decision that on my birthday, I will publish this. It's not the current release I have, not my first book. And I did it. And at that moment on, I started crying because I said, this is what I was supposed to do in the first place. But I held back. And God said, I've given you this gift. I did.
Right.
I want you to use it for my glory. Not for Jennifer,
right.
not for Parker, but for my glory. And when he said that, I said, okay, Lord, we're going to put this out there. And whatever happens, you get the glory for it. And my life has not been the same ever since then.
Well, to God be the glory. Now, are you a full-time writer?
No, I'm not a full-time writer, but I feel like a full-time writer.
Okay.
I feel like I have to work and do other things, but I make time for my writing. I make time for
Amen.
It.
Amen. And it sounds like you're very passionate about your writing.
You know, let me tell you, Nicole, writing has always been with me since I was young. Even when I was at work, when I was in a high-pressure environment, my writing was with me. Sometimes I would sit there and work on my manuscript or I'd work on a story or a poem or whatever, and it was always there my whole life. And I had said, well, I have to work. I have to do this. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't write like so-and-so. I can't do this. I can't do that. And the constant self-doubt in myself. And now I'm so passionate about it because, I see, all along God had been leading me down this path.
Right.
And the fact that he let me see it now, and it's like, wow, thank you so much, God, for just being so gracious to me that you still dealt with your stubborn child that did
right.
not want to do what you said because of my self-doubt. So,
yeah. You know, it's interesting that you talk about the self-doubt and the self-hate and feelings of not being able to do it and not being able to write like that other person writes and not being able to speak like that other person speaks, because we get into that mode and we do that comparison mode. But I know God is like, because I do that sometimes too, and I could just see God now saying, who do you think you are? If I called you to do it, don't you think I'll equip you to do it? You know, who do you think you are to discount what I've put in you? So it's sort of like, oh, ouch. So if he says I can do it, who are we to say that we can? It's sort of like us saying that other person over there can't sing or that other person over there can't do that. But it's sort of like when you internalize it, we're looking face-to-face in the mirror with ourselves, and we know that the Spirit of God is in us. And if he's telling us we can do it, then we just need to. If he says jump, we need to jump. If he says run, we need to run.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
I love that verse.
If God be for us, who can be against us? If God's going to get us, nothing can stand against
it. Amen. Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's start talking about your book. Let's talk about your book. You know, this book looks juicy, honey. I haven't read it yet, but it looks juicy, honey. Many Strange Women, The Sins of the Flesh, Book 1. So tell me a little about Sins of the Flesh. That's a series, is that correct?
Yes, The Sins of the Flesh is a series. At first it was just going to be two books, but it's stretching out to, not stretching out, but it's becoming three because my characters are just telling me they want their story told, which is wonderful. But Many Strange Women is written by one, first of all. But Many Strange Women is a story about a man who wants to escape his past. And the way he feels he's going to escape his past, that he makes a deal with God. He says, if you send me an ugly wife, I'll marry her and do spiritually right by you. He did not want a beautiful woman. And so he meets this woman named Celeste, because his name is Solomon, her name is Celeste. And he meets her at a museum, and she agrees to be his ugly wife. And
no, wait. Let's go back a little bit. Let's go back. So wait a minute. So when they meet at a museum, he says, oh, okay, she's ugly. She can be part of it. Does she know that she's being chosen because she's ugly?
Well, that's the thing about Celeste. She does not believe she's beautiful. And so when he makes this mention of it, for her it's a perfect opportunity. It's a marriage convenience because she's in love with someone else. And she can never forget that person. So in her way, she doesn't want to be tormented by the sight of this other person being with someone else. So she agrees to be the wife because she doesn't believe she's beautiful anyway.
Right, and I think she's a side piece. Is that correct?
Oh, no, she's not a side piece. No, she's not a side piece.
She's not. She's just in love with the other person.
Yeah, she's in love with him, but she's not a side piece, no.
Okay, okay. Get me straight, baby. Get me straight.
That's a good idea, though, right?
Oh, right.
But so what happens, they have this marriage of convenience. He said, I'll do right by God to give me this ugly wife. She goes, okay, I'll be your ugly wife. But he does find himself fascinated by this woman who is not his cup of tea. He's fascinated by her. And because she doesn't want to have anything to do with him, that tends to whet his appetite more for her. But he has this very sordid past that you find out in the book. And in order to get past it, he has to reveal himself to her. And then she's like, well, I'm not in love with you, but then she can't stop thinking about him. She can't stop wanting to be with him. And then they go through a lot of different things in the book in their relationship. And you encounter some interesting women in this book as well, which is one of the reasons why it's called Many Strange Women, to give you an idea that all kind of women in this book. So that's the gist of the story. I don't want to give away too much, but that's the gist of the story.
Okay. So first of all, I think his first mistake, Solomon, if you could tell Solomon this, you don't make deals with God. You don't say, if you give me this, I will do that, because he will twist it all around.
That's exactly what he does.
Yes. I can't wait to read it. Now, where did the storyline come from? Was it just given to you? Was it something that you saw different people do, or was it just your creativity?
Well, actually, the second book in the series, which I'm currently working on and completing, that was actually the first book. And then I had this insight into where these two characters tapped me on the shoulder and said, we want our story told first. Mm. And so I said, okay, then Celeste, she's the older sister. So I said, it was like in my mind, she's like, my story needs to be told first. I said, okay, fine, we'll tell your story first. And so that's how it came to be. And then I talked to the voices in my head. You know, with creative writers, we talk to the voices in our head. So I was talking to Celeste, and I said, also her character started to reveal itself to me and how I wanted her to be. So that's where the idea came from. And then the second story follows up with the same, with different characters along the same family line.
Wonderful. Now, what's been the feedback from Many Strange Women?
You know, to be honest with you, I've gotten some good feedback, and I've gotten people who say, this is probably the strangest book I've ever read. And I was like, yes! I love it. Some people have said it wasn't what they expected, and some of the spiritual and the spiritual advice and scriptures in there have actually helped them in their lives. One lady said her mother was in the hospital, and the book helped her to connect to her spiritual side. And I'm not sure what that means, but at least it had got her thinking. Another lady, she told me that she read the book, and she was like, God was getting my attention through this book. And so the book is being used in a way I didn't think it would be. But then I said, to God be the glory. It is his work, his gift to the world. So however he wants it to be used, will be used. So far I've gotten some good feedback from it.
Wonderful. Now, what have you always wrote fiction? Have you ever wrote nonfiction?
I haven't written nonfiction. I've always wrote fiction. And I think it's because I grew up reading a lot of dark stuff. Like, I grew up reading Stephen King, Dean Koontz, and all the dark ones. And then I got older, I got into romance and stuff like that. So I like horror and dark things like that, and I like romance. So I kind of call myself the Midnight Sunshine author, because I bask in the sunlight and I glow in the moonlight. So I kind of like those things. So that's why I call myself that. And then I've always written, and I've written poems. All my poems come out pretty depressing, so I stopped writing poems.
You know, it's so funny, though, because I'm just a silly person. I just believe when you stop laughing, you stop living, and you stop dreaming, you stop living, and I'm just, I just have fun. So when you just said that, I wanted to say, were you a werewolf? You think you're a werewolf, baby? But I didn't want to say that. But it's going to be okay. You said you bask in the moonlight.
That's not howling at the moon.
Right, you are just a creative, being. You're a creative being. So that's what we'll take from that. What advice? Well, you know what? Can you give us how the listeners can contact you, how they can purchase your book? I'm sure it's on ebook as well as paperback. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. You can get it at called Many Strange Women.
Okay.
You can get it at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. You can get it on my publisher site, ElectioPublishing.com. That's ELECTIO Publishing.com. And you can get it in paperback and an ebook. And then to contact me, I love to hear from my readers. You can contact me via my website at ParkerJCole.com. And everything is on there. Everything about me is on there. So you can get me there and get more information. Who I'm about.
Great, great, great. Well, we only have 5 minutes left. Parker, I want you breathe again as a moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. If there are some people that are on the line that may be taking their stab at a fiction or just writing their first book or releasing it, what tips can you give them to avoid, first of all, writer's block, second of all, to just not be afraid of what's going on around them and have no fear and just write the book? What are some tips you can give them?
The one tip is to know that writing is a gift from God, and if God gave you that gift, to use it. It is his tool that he gave to you, his vessel, so use it. Second thing is to keep writing even when it doesn't make sense to you. Do not censor yourself. And when you're writing your first manuscript, don't worry about what's going to come out because you're going to go ahead and edit it again. So try not to edit as you write. Get into a place that helps you create. My place is in the shower. Usually I get a lot of ideas in the bathroom or in the shower. But some people go for a walk. They sit outside. They get into a certain mode, let's say like music or television or whatever it does, get them into that creative mode. And secondly, please believe in yourself. God gave you this gift. Believe in yourself. I know what it's like to not believe in yourself. And it's so different to now be able to have confidence in who I am because God gave me this gift.
Amen, amen. And just want to give a shout out to your hubby and your daughter, your doggie. You have a four-legged doggie?
Yeah, a four-legged daughter. Her name is Sarah. That's my baby.
That's your baby.
Yes.
Well, it has been a pleasure speaking with you. That's been our time. Listeners, I want you to go out there, connect with Parker at ParkerJCole.com, ParkerJCole.com. Support her. If you read this type of book or if you read fiction, go out there and purchase this book, Many Strange Women, Book 1 of Sins of the Flesh. And I'm sure it is going to be juicy. You also have a few other books. You have God Realms of Our Own, and you also have Coconut Tsunami. Which one was your first book?
The first book actually was Dark Cherub, and that was my horror book. That's Christian horror, and that was my first book. And then Coconut Tsunami is a prelude to Many Strange Women. And The Realms of Our Own is a short novella. I'm working with other speculative fiction authors. They're all Christian authors, and we're bringing this anthology about probably sometime in June. We'll be bringing that about. So.
Okay, so let's back up because you can't just drop something and then I keep going. Parker, what is Christian horror? I've never heard of Christian horror.
Yeah, it's under the realm of speculative fiction, and speculative fiction is like sci-fi, fantasy, magical, stuff like that. The group I'm in is called Iron Sharpening Iron, and we are Christian speculative fiction authors. Whereas we use speculative fiction, but we put a Christian theme or message or elements in it, like J.R. Tolkien with Lord of the Rings. That's speculative fiction. It's high fantasy. But it has Christian elements in it. Narnia, same thing, those type of books. But this is horror. It's more of a darker thing, but it still has Christian elements in it. And it's pretty interesting. But it's not, I don't do nasty, pulling out the guts and ripping people's heads off kind of horror. Because I don't do that horror.
Okay, all right, okay, good. Because I thought you were talking about Christians just going around killing people. You're not doing that, right? Okay, all right, baby. You know what, Parker, it's been a pleasure, like I told you. Laughter is good. I love to laugh, and I love to learn. So any last words to the listeners about writing or any last words to the listeners about your characters or your books or anything you'd like to say?
you know, just for those who are listening, who are supporting me, thank you so much for your support. And, Nicole, just thank you for allowing me to be on the show to tell my story, talk about my book, and I would love to talk to you and just get more insight into your new book. I saw it, you know, and I've been there before, too, and I saw that. Yes. I love the cover of your book.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
That phone, and I said, yes, oh, I've been there, you know. So
yes.
That's all. Just thank you, everybody, for their support, and thank you for allowing me on the show today.
Oh, you're more than welcome. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. Like I said, listeners, go out and support Parker J. Cole. Her website, again, is parkerjcole.com. And, again, you know, I love you guys for listening. I love you for stopping by. You could be anywhere on the Internet or anywhere outside or doing anything, watching anything, but you decided to spend 30 minutes with me. And so I'm just so grateful and so excited. And, you know, I never, ever say goodbye. I always say until next time. But I also want to let you know, if you have a powerful testimony, if you have an encouraging testimony, I want to interview you. I want you to contact me. Contact me at breatheagainmagazine.org and then click the link that says share your story. breatheagainmagazine.org and click the link that says share your story. Your story is not for you. It's for somebody else. The Word of God says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. That means you have to share it because someone right now is in a hopeless situation. But if they hear your story, they will know that there is hope. Again, thanks so much for joining us today. I am your host, Nicole Cleveland, and I never, ever say goodbye. I always say until next time. God bless you and have a super fabulous evening.